And now your host for Haunted Shack Theater, Uncle Yaya. Well, 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 it's Halloween. I woke up this morning and I didn't realize what day it is. I hadn't kept the calendar here around the shack in a while. And, well, damn, the haunted jukebox wasn't acting up.
Mercury Theater on the Air presents Orson Welles as Count Dracula in his own version of Bram Stoker's great novel, Dracula.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Arthur Seward. I'm here tonight to bear witness to the truth of certain events which you may find it hard to believe, but I ask you to believe them. I have here certain documents, telegrams, clippings from the press of the day, memoranda, and letters in various hands. All needless matters have been eliminated, so that a history almost at variance with the possibilities of contemporary belief may stand forth as simple fact. I present you first with excerpts from the private journal of Jonathan Harker.
I, Jonathan Harker, lawyer's clerk, article to Peter Hawkins, Esquire of Exeter, England, am writing this journal in the hope that if misfortune overtakes me, it may one day come to the eyes of those who love me. I set out from London on the last day of April to visit one of our clients in Eastern Europe. On May the 3rd, I arrived in Budapest and came after nightfall to Klausenburg on the borders of Transylvania. At Bistritz, there was a letter of welcome for me from our client, informing me that his carriage would await me at the Borgo Pass. It was signed Dracula.
Bukovina! Couch for Bukovina!
The road was rough, but still we seemed to fly over it with feverish haste. When it grew dark, there seemed to be some excitement among the passengers. They kept speaking to the driver and looking at me and urging him on to greater speed. The crazy coach rocked on its great leather spring. The mountains seemed to come nearer to us on either side.
Coachman! Coachman!
What is it? Where are we?
You're nearing your destination, young hare. This is the Borgo Pass.
There were black, rolling clouds overhead, and in the air, the heavy, oppressive sense of thunder. Now, we were through the pass.
The young hare is not expected after all.
You are early tonight, my friend.
A caleche with four horses had drawn up beside us.
Let me help you, sir.
The coachman smiled, and the lamplight fell on a hard-looking mouth with very red lips and sharp-looking teeth as white as ivory. We began to move. I looked back. The coach and its load of passengers had vanished from sight. We swept into the darkness of the pass. I struck a match. It was within a few minutes of midnight. And then a dog began to howl somewhere far down the road. The wind was rising. It moaned and whistled through the rocks, and the branches of the trees clashed together as we swept along. It grew colder and colder still, and fine powdery snow began to fall. The baying of wolves sounded nearer and nearer, as though they were closing round us on every side. We kept on ascending, always ascending. The howling of wolves was growing less. Presently, it ceased altogether. And just then, the moon broke through the black clouds, and by its light, I saw around us a ring of wolves running alongside the carriage, in silence, with white teeth and lolling red tongues, with long sinuated limbs and shaggy hair.
Welcome to my house.
I must have fallen asleep. The carriage had pulled up in the courtyard of a vast ruined castle. The coachman was nowhere to be seen.
Welcome to my house. Come freely, go safely, and leave something of the happiness you bring.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula.
His face was strong, very strong, aquiline. The mouth, so far as I could see under the heavy mustache, was fixed and rather cruel looking, with peculiarly sharp white teeth.
You hear them, Mr. Harker?
The wolves?
The children of the night, as you say, Mr. Harker. The wolves. Listen. Come now. There are many things you must tell me tomorrow. Of England and of the estate there you have purchased for me.
Yes.
The estate is called Carfax, I believe.
Yes, that is so.
But now I will detain you no longer. You will find your room in readiness. And I advise you not to leave it during the night.
On a night when you are out on a lark, all alone and so afraid of the dark, that's the time you may encounter your host,
who
the rockin' ghost. when the winds are blowing up in the trees, and you're feeling kind of weak in the knees, who will follow you from pillar to post?
Who?
The rocking ghost. Luckily, if you want him to get going, all you do is say, I dig you the most, ghost. Then you'll notice he'll be timbing his hat, 'cause he really is the swingin'est cat. When he hears you say, I dig you the most, the rockin' ghost. The rockin' ghost, the rockin' ghost. The rocking ghost, the rocking ghost, the rocking ghost. The rocking ghost, the rocking ghost, the rocking ghost, the rocking ghost. Luckily, if you want him to get going, all you do is say, I dig you the most, ghost. Then you'll notice he'll be tending his hat, 'cause he really is the swingin'est cat. When he hears you say, I dig you the most,
who?
The rocking ghost. The rocking ghost. The rocking ghost. The rocking ghost.
In the 19th century, the striptease moved into the realm of horror. In a castle in northern Europe, a vampire appeared for the first time. Vampires, as you know, reawaken on nights when there's a full moon and are seized with an uncontrollable urge to suck the blood of human beings. And since they never die, there are lots of them still around today. Luckily for them, the government has found full employment for them in the Federal Tax Bureau.
Thank you.
Trembling tomatoes, Burger Chef. Here comes Krankenburger, the monster.
What's that you're carrying, Crank? A vacuum cleaner?
Why, yes.
Giving your laboratory a spring cleaning, Mr. Krankenburger?
No, I've got a new job selling vacuum cleaners door to door.
Prosperous pickles. How many have you sold so far?
None. I'm just starting out. It's all here in this book.
How to make a fortune in a vacuum. Easy rules for selling success.
Well, I've got to get started. Wish me luck.
Yes, good luck, Krankenburger. Let us know how you do.
So long. Hope you clean up.
Here's a house. I'll check my book. Rule number one, knock first. Rule number two, smile.
Yes.
Rule number three, if at first you don't succeed, move on to the next house. Ah, here's Fangburger's house.
Hello. Ah, Krankenburger, what's this?
I'm selling vacuum cleaners. Is the lady bat of the house in?
A door-to-door monster. What happened to your career as a movie monster?
I can't pass my Hollywood screen test. Here, let me demonstrate the miracle vacuum cleaner. Remember our motto, if it picks up dirt, it's a miracle.
Wait a minute.
Just move the miracle suction switch.
Stop! You fool! You've got my cape caught in the nozzle. Help! It's pulling me in!
Uh-oh. Let's see. Where's the off switch?
That's high power! Help! I'm caught! It's pulling me in! Oh! What's over here?
Oh, dear.
Look at me. Covered with dust and dirt. And I just got this cape back from the cleaners for a house haunting tonight. Get out!
But I haven't shown you the special attachments for the doorknobs and ceilings.
Out! You has been!
But our 12-hour money-back guarantee.
Out!
Oh, what's the use? I'll never be a success. I give up. Rule number four. Never give up. Well, one more try.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. I represent the miracle vacuum cleaner.
Hey, you're green.
Well, I am kind of new at this.
No, but... I mean you're a monster. Come in. Don't you recognize me? I'm Sesame B. DeFocus.
The famous horror movie producer?
The same. And I'm looking for a new leading monster for my latest horror picture. It came from beneath the car wash.
Gosh!
Ooh, those eyes, that smile, those electrodes. Kid, you're a natural unnatural.
Gosh!
The public is screaming for new monster talent. You'll be perfect for the part. Can you juggle?
Never mind,
we'll use a double. Baby, you're gonna be a star. Your name in lights. Your toast of Transylvania. Money, fame, fortune, travel. The best table. Your picture in the papers.
Just one question, Mr. DeFocus.
Yeah?
Does that mean you'll take the vacuum cleaner?
Castle is on the very edge of a terrible precipice. A stone falling from the window would fall 1,000 feet without touching anything. I explored. There are doors everywhere, and all of them locked. The door to the great hall, the door to the courtyard, every door in the castle is closed, bolted against me. The castle of Dracula is a prison, and I am a prisoner. The next night, I couldn't sleep. So after a few hours, I got up and, lighting my candle, I placed my shaving mirror on the dressing table and was just beginning to shave.
You seem restless, Mr. Harker.
I hadn't seen him, although the reflection of the glass covered the whole room behind me. I turned to the glass again. Count Dracula was close to me, and I could see him over my shoulder, but there was no reflection of him in the mirror. It was blank. I started and cut myself on the side of the throat. The blood was trickling down my neck.
Count, my mirror!
The blood! The blood. Wipe the blood from your face, Mr. Harker. And take care how you cut yourself. It is more dangerous than you think in this country.
When I woke, I found most of my things were gone. My passport, my notes, my letter of credit. I could find no trace of them anywhere. And my door is locked from the outside. June 20th. There is work of some kind going on in the castle. Now and then I hear the faraway muffled sound of mattock and spade. And last night, the second of the predated letters which Dracula made me write, the second of that series which is to blot out the very traces of my existence from the earth, went forth. Count Dracula.
Yes, my young friend.
Well, what of me? When am I free? When can I leave this place?
Free? Mr. Harker, you're always free. You want to leave? Would you like to leave tonight?
Yes, yes, in God's name.
My dear young friend, not an hour shall you wait in my house against your will. Come, follow me. The door seems to be bolted. How strange. The door is locked.
Well, in God's name, open it.
As you will, Mr. Harker. You English have a proverb which is very close to my heart. Welcome the coming, speed the parting guest. Good night, Mr. Harker.
Shut the door! Shut the door! I tell you, shut the door! Shut!
The door is shut, Mr. Harker. I take it. He will remain.
Morning, June the 30th. These may be the last words I ever write in this diary. Oh, God preserve my sanity. I have never seen Count Dracula by day. At sunrise, at the first cockcrow, he is gone. I do not understand these things. I only know that the wolves obey him, and that he is a man with hair on the palm of his hands, with sharp teeth, and no blood in his face. He casts no shadow. He cannot be seen in a glass. And he moves like a bat across the sheer face of the castle walls. He eats no food and is mortally afraid of the crucifix. As I write this, I hear in the courtyard the rolling of heavy wheels and the cracking of whips. And there is in the passageway below a sound of heavy boxes being set down. Boxes shaped like coffins. And I know what they hold. The boxes are filled with holy earth from the chapel beneath the castle. Is the last box being nailed down. And now I hear the heavy feet tramping again. The door shut. Chains rattle. In the courtyard and down the rocky way, the roll of heavy wheels, the crack of whips. The wagons have gone.
I'm alone in the castle. I'm alone in the castle. I'm alone in the castle.
Vampiro, 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 vampiro.
Welcome, my friends, to Transylvania. Come in, come in. Don't be frightened by my little bats. They won't harm you. Go away. I want to be alone now. I want to tell you something. Come closer. 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 Come closer to me. All of a sudden, my heart sings when I remember little things. The way in my coffin I do lie, sucking the blood from little fly. All of a sudden, my heart sings when I remember little things. The way I fly around at night, scaring the people to death with fright. The way I peer through the window pane, try to find a jugular vein. For some blood I must get if I'm to live forever yet. Come closer, closer. I won't harm you. Closer. If you will follow me, I will take you down to the cellar, where you will see where I sleep during the day. Come. Come with me. Now, wait, I show you the coffin. It's a very nice bed, don't you think so? Here I lie all day long, and when the sun sets, I arise. And I look for my quest, I look for blood. For without blood, I cannot live. Well, when you go to bed tonight, don't forget to dream of me, Count Dracula. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Time covers the city, and the rain is coming down. There's death all around us, and over there, a body found. There's people moving everywhere, and in amongst the crowd, a killer waiting patiently. Who next will this truth be round? Oh, time now is midnight, and there's something coming my way. Get out of sight, quickly now, or your body may be a prey. The vampire's fingers will dig you as the rain comes pouring through. He'll scratch you on your bony back and drain the blood from you. No one knows when he'll strike or what he might do. Walk swiftly, friend, when alone, the next one might be you. I tried to warn them, but they just wouldn't listen.
Now, there's a powerful motion picture that rips at your emotions. The Vampire Lovers. It brings you beautiful love and vampire evil, and it'll drive your mind through a thousand terror-filled moments. You'll hear whispers of warm desire become shrieks of chilling death. You'll taste the deadly passion of the Vampire Lovers and become a slave of the damned. You'll discover the sweet embrace and the deadly kiss of blood nymphs who refuse to die. The Vampire Lovers. It's in color, and it had to be rated R. Under 17 must be accompanied by a parent or adult guardian. Don't miss The Vampire Lovers.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Seward. Mr. Harker's journal terminates at this point. I now present in evidence a clipping dated August 8th of that year from the Yorkshire Telegraph from our correspondent in Whitby. One of the greatest and suddenest storms on record is experienced here today. The weather has been somewhat sultry, but Saturday evening was fine. The band was playing. The piers were crowded with holidaymakers. The wind fell away entirely during the evening, and there was a dead calm. There were but few lights at sea. The only sail noticeable was a foreign schooner under full canvas, which was seemingly going westward. A little after midnight came a strange sound from over the sea, and high overhead the air began to carry a strange, faint, hollow booming. Then, without warning, the tempest broke. And there, with all sails set, was the foreign schooner rushing with terrific speed toward the shore. A searchlight was turned on her. And there, lashed to the helm, was a corpse with drooping head, which swayed horribly to and fro at each motion of the ship. A moment later, she crashed. And then a strange thing was seen. At the very instant she touched, a huge dog sprang up on deck from below and, running forward, jumped from the bow onto the sand and, making straight up the east cliff toward the graveyard, vanished into the night. The Coast Guard, going aboard at dawn, found the dead man fastened to a spoke of the wheel. Tightly clutched in one hand was a crucifix. The man must have been dead for quite 2 days. In a pocket of the dead man's coat was found a bottle, carefully corked, containing a roll of paper. This proved to be an addendum to the ship's log. There was found on board only a small amount of cargo, and that of a most unusual nature. Apparently, the ship carried nothing but earth. Common earth. Packed away in wooden boxes. Shaped much like coffins.
Log of the Demeter. Russian flag, Black Sea, to Whitby. July 6th. Finished taking in cargo, a queer cargo, boxes of earth. At noon, set sail, east wind, fresh. Crew, four hands, two mates, cook, and myself, captain. July 11th. Entered Bosporus. At dark, passed through Dardanelles. Mate reported in morning that one of crew, Valjodin, was missing.
Took larboard watch, 8 bells last night. She was relieved by Chilegian, who came to his bunk.
Something aboard the ship.
No. Don't laugh, Captain. In the rain last night.
Oh.
A tall, thin man go up companionway and along the deck forward and disappeared. When I go to the bow, no one. And the hatchways all closed.
July 22nd. Rough weather last 3 days. All hands busy with sail. No time be frightened. Past Gibraltar and out through Strait. All well, July 24th. Last night, another hand was lost. Disappeared.
Like Galicius. Leave off watch midnight. Then we never see him again.
Double watch now.
I don't take watch alone no more.
Double watch.
Double watch.
July 29th. Had single watch tonight as crew too tired to double. When morning comes...
Hey! Hey, below! Follow me! Follow me! He's following me below! Follow me, gone!
Oh, vanishing God like the us, like all the us.
The mate and I have agreed to go armed henceforth, July 30th. Last night, we are nearing England, weather fine, all sail set.
Captain! Captain! The men in the watch of the steersman meeting! Most meeting!
Now, only self and mate and one hand left to work ship. August 3rd. 2 days of fog and not a sail sighted. At midnight, I went to relieve the man at wheel, and when I got to it, found no one there.
It's here! I know it now. I saw it like a man, tall and thin and ghastly pale. It was in the bows looking out. I gave it the knife, and my knife went through it.
What?
Empty as air.
What is it? What are you talking about?
It's here, and I'll find it. In one of those boxes of earth. I'll unscrew them one by one and see. And see.
He is mad. Stark raving mad. It's no use my trying to stop him. He can't hurt those big boxes. They are invoiced as common earth.
He's there. Down in the hold. I know the secret now. The sea will save me from him. That's all that's left. That's all that's left.
August 4th. I am all alone on my ship. And still the fog. I dared not go below. I dared not leave the helm. So here all night I stayed. And in the dimness of the night, I saw it. I saw him. God forgive me, but the mate was right to jump overboard. It was better to die like a sailor in the blue water. But I am captain, and I must not leave my ship. I shall tie my hands to the wheel when my strength begins to fail. And along with them I shall tie that which it dare not touch, my crucifix. I am growing weaker, and the night is coming on. God and the Blessed Virgin, help a poor, ignorant soul trying to do his duty.
You are listening to the Columbia Network's first presentation in a new summer series of unique dramatic productions featuring Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air. In just a moment, our story of Bram Stoker's Dracula will continue. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Fine crystal ball, what will my future be? Crystal ball, don't hide a thing from me. Will the one I love true be faithful to my heart? Or shall I read the fate decree? My heart must pray to part. Why don't you tell me, crystal ball, what is tomorrow worth? Is it
seas or a heaven on earth. Crystal ball, what is tomorrow worth? Is it tears or a heaven on earth? But let it be what it will. My heart loves her still. Tell me all, crystal ball.
Continue now with Columbia Network's presentation of Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in Dracula.
Telegram, Seward, Pursuit, to Van Helsing, Amsterdam. Lucy Westenra in alarming condition. Cannot diagnose. Come at once. Seward.
Telegram, Van Helsing, Amsterdam, to Seward, Pursuit. I'm on my way to you. Please arrange the examination patient immediately my arrival, Van Helsing.
Ladies and gentlemen, I must now explain that 6 months before the events recorded here, I had become engaged to a young lady, Lucy Westenra. We were to have been married in the spring. My old teacher, Professor Van Helsing, arrived at 4 the next afternoon. I took him at once to Lucy's house. She lay in a bed asleep. She was ghastly, chalky pale. The red seemed to have gone even from her lips and gums. The bones of her face stood out.
Young miss is bad. Very bad. She must have blood or she will die. Yet she is not anemic. The qualitative analysis of her blood gives quite normal condition. It is strange. I do not like to think how strange. Look! My God, her throat, look!
The black velvet band that she always wore had dragged up a little and showed a red mark on her throat. Just over the external jugular vein were two punctures, not large, but not wholesome looking. The edges were white and worn looking. Well? Well, what is it, Professor? What's wrong with her? Speak frankly. You can tell me the worst.
I wish I could, Seward. I wish I could. But I do not dare.
But won't you tell me anything?
I will tell you this. Your young lady is in a danger greater than death. You must believe me. If you leave her for one moment and harm befalls, you will not sleep easy thereafter.
September 8th. I sat up all night with Lucy.
Arthur, I'm afraid.
My dear, you can sleep tonight. I'm here watching you. Nothing can happen. And I promise if any sign of bad dreams, if I see anything, I'll wake you at once.
You will? Will you really? Then I'll sleep.
I sat all night by her bedside. She did not wake once during the night, although a bowls or a bat or something flapped almost
angrily against the window pane. September 11th. Still quoting from my private journals. It's this time that I received a message from Purfleet. Read 10:20 p.m. St. John's Hospital, serious complications, case 891, your immediate presence, London, imperative. I had no choice. Sometime later, a paper was found among Lucy Westenra's belongings.
I write this and leave it to be seen so that no one may by any chance get into trouble through me. I went to bed as usual, taking care that the window was closed, as Dr. Van Helsing had directed. About 2 a.m, I awakened. I went to the door, called out, Arthur! Arthur! There was no answer. Something's broken the window. I'm in the room, alone. I dare not go out. The house seems empty. The air is full of specks, floating, circling in the draft from the window. And the light burns blue, dim. What am I to do? Something very sweet and very bitter all around me. Nothing sinking into deep water. And it's singing in my ears.
You shall be flesh of my flesh. Blood of my blood.
September 12th. Late. Only resolution and habit can let me make an entry tonight. We found her sprawled on the floor. There was a draft in the room from the broken window. Her throat was bare, showing the two wounds, looking horribly white and mangled.
We are too late, my friend. We have failed. God's will be done.
She's dying.
Yes. She's dying. Stay beside her. It will make much difference, mark me. Whether she dies conscious or in her sleep.
It was late in the afternoon before she opened her eyes.
Arthur, oh, my love, I'm so glad you've come.
I took her hand and knelt beside her. Her breath came and went like a tired, peaceful child's. And then the light from the setting sun fell on her face, and then, insensibly, a strange change came over her. Her eyes grew suddenly dull and hard. Her breathing was heavy, the mouth opened, and the pale gums drawn back made the teeth look large and sharp.
Arthur, oh, my love, I'm so glad you've come. Kiss me. Bend down and kiss me.
Not for your life. Not for your living soul and health. Lucy! She's dead.
Poor girl. There's peace for at last. The end.
Not so. It is only the beginning. Wait and see.
It's a little old lady from Transylvania.
The little old lady from Transylvania. I'm known from London to Pennsylvania. I drive the traction through the mud. I guess you might say racing's in my blood.
It's a little old lady from Transylvania.
I can shut down Bella and Boris too. My mill's fuel injected with witch's brew. My car's painted bright poison apple red, with pipes loud enough to wake up the dead.
It's a little old lady from Transylvania.
Oh my, I drive real fast and I'm really hip. I'm the sweetheart of the vampire crypt. When the moon is full, I go kind of hairy.
making trial runs to the cemetery. Oh my, I'm too much. I'm the little old lady from Transylvania. I'm known from London to Pennsylvania. I drive dirt tracks and through the mud. I guess you might say racing's in my blood.
It's a little old lady from Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm just dying to meet up with that little old winemaker. I'll just shut him down. He thinks she's too much. My witch is blue. My poison apple red candy-colored car. He's nothing.
Don't be scared. I'm the super sweet monster with the super sweet new cereal, Count Chocula.
Bethel, here's the super sweet new cereal, Frankenberry.
But I've got chocolate sweeties for monstrous chocolate flavor.
Well, I've got berry flavored sweeties for monstrous strawberry flavor.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
Frank.
Frankenberry. Count Chocula.
Thank you.
Monster cereals, Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry present The Monsters Go Disco. It's Saturday night at Monster Mansion, and our friends Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry are sitting around feeling frightfully lonely. Let's join them and see if they find a cure for their Saturday night blues.
Another Saturday night rolls around.
Yes, Frankenberry. It's hard to believe that three wild and crazy guys like ourselves sit home alone.
Really, Chocula, I'm bored silly sitting here at Monster Mansion.
Well, maybe it's because you're a boring, silly monster.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, fellas, what are we going to do to cure our Saturday night blues?
I've got the answer, Booberry. Let's go disco.
Disco where?
Disco's here, disco's there.
No, disco dancing.
Oh, yes, I can see it now. I'm so light on my feet, I'll boogie all night.
I'm so handsome, all the girls will hustle with me.
After we learn to disco, it's goodbye to sitting home on Saturday nights. We will be the most popular monsters in town.
So what are we waiting for? Let's go disco.
Off go the monsters to learn to disco. Will they burn up the floor when they put on their boogie shoes? Or will their Saturday night sizzle? Sizzle?
Here we are at the hottest disco in town, the Graveyard Groove.
And there's the DJ, Disco Don.
Oh, my. Hey, all you groovy guys, gals, and ghouls, are you ready to get down at disco?
Yeah!
Oh, wait a minute, who are you, freak? Frankie Fallon.
I'm Count Chocula.
I'm Frankenberry.
I'm Booberry.
Well, you better get ready to move and groove, you monster heads, because it's time for the Graveyard Grooves Disco King Contest.
Disco King Contest?
Oh, yeah, baby. The best dancer gets to dance all night with the queen of disco. Ta-da! Donna Disco.
Dancer Donna Disco? I'll be the king of the disco.
Oh, no, I will.
All right, Booberry, you can help me spin these discs. All right, baby. Now, don't spin them through the air, man. Put them on the record player.
Oh, sorry.
All right, Chalk and Frank, it's time to hustle on to the dance floor now for the Disco King Contest. Frank and Barry, you're on, baby.
Me? What do I do?
Just move with the beat.
But what song do you want me to spin, Frank and Barry?
Something by my favorite group, the Gravestone Five.
All right, Frank and Boogie. Now, get out there, baby, and jump and bump. What are you doing?
I'm jumping and bumping.
Oh, wow, man, that's a new dance. You are great, Frank and Boogie. Now, you show us your stuff, Count Chocula.
Blueberry, play something by the Spook Group.
Okay, Chocula, get down and let it roll.
Why are you lying down on the floor and rolling around?
He said to get down and roll.
Oh, it's fantastic. What a dance. You started a whole new dance craze, baby. It's Monster Mania. Everybody's moving to Monster Mania. Hit it, boys.
There's a new craze sweeping the country. Monster Mania, Monster Mania.
Harder than Bob, just Boogie and Harpid.
Monster Mania, Monster Mania.
Jump up and down and fall on the floor.
Roll around, get up and do it some more. It's
Monster Mania, Monster Mania.
Bigger than disco, baby. Everybody's going for
Monster Mania, Monster Mania, Monster Mania.
All right, baby. The winner of the dance contest is the tie. Frankenberry and Count Chocula. All right, fellas, meet the gorgeous Donna Disco.
Hi, fellas. Let's go disco.
Oh, Disco Schmisco, I'm tired.
Me too. This dancing is too exhausting.
Besides, I've worked up quite an appetite. I want to get back to Monster Mansion and have some of my delicious Count Chocula cereal.
I'll have my strawberry-flavored Frankenberry.
Make mine Booberry.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
Booberry.
Look for more Monster Record adventures in specially marked boxes of Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry cereals.
Not for your life. Not for your living soul and health. Lucy! She's dead.
Poor girl. There's peace for at last. The end.
Not so. It is only the beginning. Wait and see.
Westminster Gazette, September 25th.
A Hempstead mystery. The Kensington horror, the stabbing woman, and the woman in black are vividly recalled to mind by a series of events that have taken place recently in the neighborhood of Hempstead. Several cases have occurred of young children straying from home or failing to return from their playing on the heath. In all these cases, the children have given as their excuse that they have been with a beautiful lady who offered them chocolate. In each case, the child was found to be slightly torn or wounded in the throat. The wound seemed such as might be made by a rat or a small dog.
The Hempstead horror. Another child injured by the beautiful lady. He has just received intelligence that another child missed last night was only discovered late in the morning. It has the same tiny wound in the throat.
Well, Stuart, what do you think of that? You mean to tell me, my friend, that you still have no suspicion as to what poor Lucy died of?
Nervous prostration, following great loss and waste of blood.
And how was the blood lost or wasted? You are a clever man, my friend, and a good doctor. But you do not believe that there are things that you cannot understand. You're wrong, Stuart. Are you aware of all the mysteries of life and death? Can you tell me why in the pampas there are bats that come at night and open the veins of cattle and horses and suck dry those veins? How in some islands of the western seas there are bats which hang on trees all day, and then when the sailors sleep on deck because it is hot, flit down on them, and then in the morning are found dead men as white as Miss Lucy was?
I understand none of these things.
After tonight, Stuart, if you dare to come with me, perhaps then you will understand.
Thank you.
September 29th. Before dawn. Now it is done. And I would sooner die a thousand deaths than live again through what I did this night.
We will spend the night, you and I, here in this churchyard where Miss Lucy is buried. We enter the tomb.
And then?
We open the coffin. You shall yet be convinced.
Take care, Van Helsing.
Miss Lucy is dead, is it not so? Then there can be no wrong to her. But if she is not dead...
Some difficulty. We found the West Enra tomb. I took up my place behind a yew tree. On one side of the tomb, Van Helsing on the other. I was chilled and frightened. Suddenly, I saw something moving between two yew trees. A dim, white figure, which held something at its breast. The figure stopped. I could not see the face, for it was bent down over what I saw to be a fair-haired child. There was a sharp little cry, such as a child gives in sleep, or a dog as it lies before the fire and dreams. Then the thing saw us. She drew back with an angry snarl. The lovely, blood-stained mouth grew to an open square. If ever a face meant death, I saw it at that moment. Then suddenly she turned and vanished in the direction of the tomb.
Child is not harmed. We leave him in a safe place where the police find him. There's more to do. Come!
Now we were in the tomb. Then in the coffin, the thing lay. Like a nightmare of Lucy, the pointed teeth, the blood-stained mouth. Van Helsing never looked up. From his bag, he took out a book, his operating knives, a heavy hammer, and a round wooden stake, some 2 or 3 inches thick, sharpened to a fine point and hardened over a fire.
Stuart! The life of this unhappy woman is just begun. Then she becomes what you call undead. There comes with the change the curse of immortality. She cannot die, but must go on age after age, adding new victims. Because all that die from the praying of the undead become themselves undead and prey on others. So the circle goes on, ever widening as the ripples from a stone thrown in the water. But if this lady, this undead, be made to rest as true dead, then the soul of the poor lady whom we love shall be again free.
Tell me. What am I to do?
Take this stake in your left hand. The hammer in your right.
Yes.
Place the point over the heart.
Yes.
Then, when I begin the prayer for the dead, in God's name, strike. Are you ready? Now. Domine Jesu Christe, Fili Dei Vivi, in mans tuas ex voluntate patri.
Flower is precious in springtime, Bushnick. Hello?
Thank you. said that. You said that. Feed me. Said that. You can talk. I got a talking plant. Say it again.
Feed me.
Gee, Junior, I'd like to feed you. I use up all my fingers.
Feed me.
Look at me. I'm all cut to pieces. But maybe I can find another drop here someplace.
On the morning of July 11th, a man was found on the border of Transylvania. He talked wildly of wolves and boxes of earth and blood. He gave his name as Jonathan Harker. In the hospital at Klausenburg, he improved sufficiently to make possible his removal to England. I'm still quoting from my own personal papers. But then his condition remained so serious that he was committed for observation to a private ward in my hospital at Purseed. Here he did so well that in 3 weeks he was completely recovered. It was during this time that his wife, Minna Harker, brought to the attention of Dr. Van Helsing and myself the journal that her husband had kept while a prisoner in the castle of a certain Count Dracula in Transylvania. I have before me the record of a meeting that took place in my study in Purseed, transcribed by Minna Harker.
October 1st. Meeting began soon after 8. Jonathan next to me. Dr. Seward opposite to Van Helsing at the head of the table.
My friend, there are such things as vampires. Had I known at first what now I know, one so precious life had been spared to many of us who love her. The vampire which is amongst us is of himself so strong that he can direct all the elements. The storm, the fog, the thunder. He can command all the meaner things, the moth and bat, the owl and the fox and the wolf. How then are we to begin our strife to destroy him? How shall we find his place? And having found it, how can we destroy him? My friend, it is a terrible task that we undertake. To fail here is not mere life or death. If we fail, we become as him. Foul things of the night, as him. What do you say?
I answer for myself.
Count me in.
I'm with you.
The professor laid a small golden crucifix on the table. We took hands and our solemn pact was made.
My friends, we too are not without strength. The vampire flourishes on the blood of the living. Without this, he cannot live. He throws no shadow. He makes no reflection in a mirror. He can transform himself to a wolf, to a bat. He can come on moonlight rays as elemental dust. He can see in the dark. He can do all these things. Yet he is not free. His power ceases at the coming of the day. Then, until night, he must remain in the shape in which he finds himself, and except in his coffin home, in those earth boxes he cannot rest. When we can confine him in his coffin, then, my friends, if we obey what we know, we will destroy him.
At that moment, something flapped wildly against the window, then...
Did you hit it?
I don't know.
We looked out of the window. Against the black sky, we could see nothing.
Data on our position. From the Count's castle in Transylvania to Whitby came 50 boxes of earth. All of these, to our certain knowledge, were delivered at Carfax. Recently, 12 of these boxes have been removed. First step, ascertain whether all the rest remain in the deserted house next door or whether any more have been removed. We must trace each of these boxes and sterilize the earth with holy water so that he can no longer seek safety in it. And we must hide it.
Thank you.
Come closer. Look into my eyes. I am Count Dracula, and I live on human blood. Don't be afraid. They're only bats. But when you hear the cry of the wolf at night, you will know that your time has come. Relax, my dear, for it is now time for Count Dracula to feed on your blood. Don't try to fight. You cannot win. Evil protects me, and you cannot escape. Soon, you will know eternal life.
Efforts of the Count Dracula Society, so long as they remain consistent with the loyalties of a good American. And in sign whereof, I will receive all privileges thereto. So help me, Christopher Lee.
In Jonathan Harker's journal.
October 2nd, 5 a.m. Just returned from the empty house. Left Mina here at home. Well, we've done our work at Carfax. The place was filthy. The air stagnant and foul and alive with rats. We counted the boxes. Only 38 of them. And over each one, the professor went through his same mysterious work. It was dawn when we got back. I found Mina asleep. She looks paler than usual.
October 2nd. Soon after they left, I fell asleep. I remember hearing the sudden barking of the dog. And then there was silence. I got up and looked out of the window. There was a thin streak of white mist moving across the grass along the wall of the house. It dawned on me that the air in the room was heavy and dank and cold. The gaslight came only like a tiny red spark through the fog. I could see through my eyelids. The mist grew thicker and thicker. Then, as I looked, the spark divided and seemed to shine on me through the fog like two red eyes.
You shall be flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood of my blood.
October 2nd, 8 p.m. We're on the track. 12 boxes were delivered last week to an empty house at 347 Piccadilly.
My dear friend, until the sun sets tonight, Dracula must retain whatever form he now has. We have this day to hunt out all his lairs and sterilize them. Then he will have no place where he can move and hide. But we have only until sunset.
The house in Piccadilly was empty. Like the one at Pursley, the same sickening smell was in the air. On the table, we found a clothes brush, a brush, and a comb and a basin. The latter containing dirty water, which was reddened as if with blood.
The boxes are back here. 8, 9, 10, 11.
Only 11.
There's a 12th box somewhere.
Gentlemen, it is after 6. The sun is setting. We've no time to lose. He will return at any moment. Open the boxes.
Quiet.
Here it is. It is he! The window!
You waste your bullet, gentlemen. You think you baffle me. You with your pale faces all in a row like sheep in a butcher's. You think you've left me without a place to rest. But I have more. And time is on my side. The one you love is mine already. I have known her. Already my mark is on her throat. Flesh of my flesh. Blood of my blood. She is with me always. Over land or sea.
October 4th morning. Another meeting in the study of Perkins.
We must find that last remaining box, gentlemen. We must find it. As long as that earth exists impure, as long as there remains one place of refuge for Dracula, there is no safety and no peace for any soul in England.
And for the undead, never peace so long as he lives. Blood of my blood. Blood of my blood.
Mina! How do you know that?
Quiet,
quiet, quiet.
With me. With me always. Over land and sea.
Mina, darling, how did you know that Dracula said those...
I don't know. The words just came. Strange. There are times when somehow I feel that I'm with him.
At sunset?
Yes. Just at sunset. And again at sunrise. Dr. Van Helsing, if I could... If at that time... You.
Have you the courage?
Courage for what? What do you mean?
Dr. Van Helsing here will question her.
I will question her, yes. In a state of hypnosis. The one you love is already mine, he said. She is with me always, over land or sea. Ah, Count Dracula. Perhaps she will betray you if she is really with you, this one we love. Who knows? If she is really with you over land or sea.
Blood of my blood.
Mina.
Yes?
Answer me, Mina. Are you with him?
Yes, I am with him.
Where are you?
I do not know. It is all dark.
What do you hear?
The lapping of water. I can hear it on the outside.
Then you are on a ship?
Yes.
What else do you hear?
There is the creaking of an anchor chain.
What are you doing?
Still.
Bother me, I got problems of my own.
Feed me.
Oh, I'm sorry, pal. I'm fresh out of blood. Talk to somebody else.
I'm hungry.
I don't care what you are. Can't you see I'm knocked out? I just killed a man. I'm a murderer. You think it's fun to be a murderer? You think it's fun to haul around a sack full of
food?
Play it back slowly, very end.
Yeah. Now, you aren't a vampire, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. But vampires aren't supposed to tell you if they're vampires.
That's also correct.
Okay, so you could be a vampire.
But I could, that's right. But I'm not.
What are some of the characteristics of vampires? We know they like blood.
That's right. Human.
Human blood.
Right.
So they don't like dog and cat blood and cow blood.
Not really, unless they can't get it. But you can get it in America. Okay. AB, doesn't matter. They have a few ounces of blood. They take it three or four times a week from volunteers or victims. And there are a lot of people out there who give blood.
They also age very well, don't they?
Well, they seem to last much longer than most people. It seems that their clock, their biological clock, and Soupy knows about that. Oh, there you are. You really move fast.
Yes.
It slows down quite a bit, and just as Dick Clark or Ronald Reagan don't look their age, you know the biological clock ticks differently for different people. With vampires, it's even slower.
So Dick Clark could be a vampire.
Well, put it this way. No, we even did the White House, but we are... Because of the confidentiality of the clients, we can't really say.
I would love to see a vampire after he bites Dean Martin.
Yeah, you know what he means. Dean drinks a lot.
Oh, that's supposedly true, but I can't talk about Dean either. I'll tell you, there's a lot of vampires.
Really?
Oh, sure. In fact, we did...
Have you ever met Dick Clark?
I can't tell you that.
Did you ever bite Dean Martin?
Yeah.
No. By the way,
wait
a second. Let me just say this.
Okay.
We've done two worldwide censuses of vampires. We've interviewed people who've seen, know of, claimed to be vampires. And I'll tell you, folks, there is a lot of vampirism out there. Probably about 200 or 300 physical vampires, individuals who must drink human blood, not as a psychological manifestation, but as a real need. We're not talking about necessarily crazies. We're talking about people who have this need.
Vampires always seem to be very sexual.
Well, most of them are. For example, there's a female vampire in Florida who happens to own a lot of condominiums and rents out. And instead of rent, she collects blood. There's a hookers in Baltimore who sell their bodies for sex. And so there's a compensation. We call it a symbiotic relationship between the vampire and, of course, the victim.
You know a lot of vampires, don't you?
Yes, I do. When we began the Vampire Research Center of America, we didn't realize we were the only serious social scientist in this field. You didn't know that, Soupy,
no.
Did you? You didn't know that, okay. That's the point. And now the public knows about it, and we've been researching it 16 years now. I mean, boy, that's a long time.
Are there any, now you don't have to give me names, are there any famous vampires that these people would know? Like people who are in the public eye that are vampires, and you know that for a fact?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. We surveyed the White House, we served the Congress. Here's the problem, though. People have been turning in ex-wives, ex-husbands, landlords, landladies. I mean, it's very difficult checking out all these type of people.
Give us a hint.
Betty White
on Golden Girls. Well,
I mean, like a lawyer and a client, you can't tell. But I'll just say this. The heaviest population of vampires is in California and Washington and the West Coast, Pennsylvania, New York, and, of course, in the Great Lakes area, too. So... There are a lot of vampires, and what we do is survey them. We noticed a tremendous growth of vampires in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Now,
by the way, they don't use, the old biting method, which is very popular, with the nice, neat two marks you used to get
on the neck.
No. They use syringe needle, razor blade sometimes, or real rougher things, as they say. But
how much rougher can you get than a syringe or a...
How about an old-fashioned tap on the forehead?
No. Now, the neck is most accessible, but there are other parts of the body. In fact, I've interviewed female vampires, and one of them looked like Apollonia Quintero, very pretty, and she was wearing very little. And it's very hard, as you know, to concentrate on a beautiful female guest and just look at her eyes. So,
hey, what's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Eyes? I mean, excuse me?
No, well, there is a lot of female vampires who are willing to please people in order to compensate for their needs. So it's rather interesting.
We'll be right back with Elena Reed. That's interesting.
Here is a report from Matson and Peabody, ship brokers. Dated October 5th, according to Lloyd's List, the only sailing ship that left for the Black Sea yesterday was the Tsarina Katrina, bound for Varna. Some hours before she sailed, a man came alongside, all in black, driving a cart with a great box in it. This he lifted down single-handed and carried below. No one remembers having seen him after that, as heavy mist came up over Doolittle Dock until sailing time. The rest of London Harbour remained completely clear.
Our plans are made. The average sailing time from London to the Black Sea is 3 weeks. We can travel overland to the same place in 3 days. We shall be there waiting for him when he arrives.
October 15th, arrived Varna about 5 o'clock. Mina seems stronger. Every morning before sunrise and just before sunset, she speaks to Van Helsing in a trance.
Are you with him, Mina? Tell me, are you with him?
I am with him.
What can you see?
Nothing. All is dark.
What can you hear?
I can hear the waves lapping against the ship and the water rushing by. The wind is high. I can hear it in the shrouds and the bow throws back the foam.
So, Tsarina Katrina is still at sea, hastening on her way to Varna. The Count cannot cross warning water, so he cannot leave the ship without being observed.
What do you hear, Mina?
Lapping waves and rushing water. Darkness.
A whole week of waiting. Daily telegram from Lloyd.
Not yet reported.
Darkness and wind.
October 24th, telegram. Lloyd, London to Harker. Tsarina Katrina reported this morning. From Dardanelle. Lloyd, London to Harker, October 28th.
Tsarina Katrina in heavy fog reported entering Galat Harbor at 1 o'clock today.
Galat is 38 hours from here, and the first train for Galat leaves at 6:30 tomorrow morning. My friends, we have lost.
Evening. We are due between 2 and 3 in the morning, but already at Bucharest, we are 3 hours late.
Something's going on. I can feel it passing like a cold wind. I can hear far off, confused sounds. Men talking in strange tongues. Tears falling water and the howling of wolves. There's another sound.
Speak, Mina. Speak, I command you.
Arrived in Garrett's. Store Captain Zarina Katrina.
A man come aboard with an order an hour before sunup. Receive a box for a party by the name of Dracula. That is Pepper Zarita. Emmanuel Hiddleheim, his name was.
Mr. Hiddleheim?
Yes.
You went out of the box yesterday.
I get the Kailov by order. Kailov.
Mr. Kailov?
Kailov. This morning they find him dead inside the churchyard of St. Peter. They find him dead with his throat torn open.
October 30th evening, there are two ways in which Dracula can get back to his own place. By land or by water.
We've examined the map and find the most likely river is the Ceres.
You and I, Seward, will charter a steam launch and follow him up the river. Van Helsing and Mina will take the train to Veresti, and from there they will go...
From there we shall go in the track where Harker is went, from Bistritz over to Borgo. If you have not caught him before, we shall be awaiting Dracula there.
October 31st. We arrived at Veresti at noon, Van Helsing and I... Bought a carriage here, and we start in an hour. Our enemy is still on the river.
October 31st. We can run a good speed up the river at night. There's plenty of water, and the banks are wide apart.
November 1st, evening. No news all day. We hear that a big boat went up the river before us, going at more than usual speed.
November 4th. All day driving. The country gets wilder as we go. By morning, we shall reach the Borgo Pass.
November the 4th, evening. We've left the launch. We've got horses, and we follow on the track along the river. We are armed.
Look! Quick! There they are now! Heading west!
With the dawn, we could see the Slovak some miles before us, dashing along the river with their wagon. On it is the great box.
Afternoon. We reached the Borgo Pass.
Van Helsing, look, look!
We could see a long way all around us. Far off, beyond the white waste of snow, was the river like a black ribbon curling. Between us and the river, not afar off, came a group of men, mounted Slovak, hurrying along. In the midst of them was a wagon which swept from side to side. On the wagon was a great box.
Look!
We see two horses. Following fast, coming up from the south. Stuart and Parker, the Slovaks with their heavy wagon, are losing their ground. Now the horsemen are not more than a mile behind. Now the wagon is quite close to us. We can see the great box swaying gravely. Now they are almost upon us. Into a great rock dead in the snow, lost its front wheels, and turned over on its side, jammed against the stone. The horses tore loose from their traces and bolted, and the Slovaks scatter and vanish after them. Then silence. Silence like comes after ringing a bell.
Look, his face.
It is Dracula. Sprawled out stiff and twisted in the smear of his own holy earth. The box, in falling, has emptied the dirt onto the snow. His face is old skin. The skin is like paper. Dr. Seward, there's no time. Look at the sun.
Sunday.
In 1 minute there is darkness and he is forever lost to us. Have you the stake of wood and the hammer?
Yes.
Now, Seward, pray for us. Kneel down and pray. Harker, the stake of wood over his heart. Be not afraid, Harker. Do not look into his eyes. The hammer. Now, Harker, strike. Strike!
Flesh of my flesh. Guilt of my guilt. Death of my death. Speak and be manifest in the instant of the unlast of still. Elements of darkness, rain, evil wind, mist, and mold, and tempest.
Frank!
Mina's face as she stood there, the angry scar standing out on her throat, her eyes like living coals in the last red of the sunset. She had torn the stake and the hammer out of my hands with the strength of an animal.
Mina, do you know what you've done, woman? Do you know what you've done to us? You've released him, the evilest fiend.
Look! The sun! As we looked down at Dracula, the eyes saw the sinking sun, and the hate in them turned to triumph.
Flesh. Of my flesh, come to me, my love. Come into the night and the darkness. You have served me well, my love. My bride.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the evidence in this case is now before you. I've added nothing, and to the best of my knowledge, I've omitted nothing that might help to throw light on the extraordinary events of the year 1891, which culminated on that terrible evening in the Borgo Pass. There remains only this one last report.
When Mina Harker seized the stake and hammer from her husband, I believe she was under some form of hypnosis. She herself remembers nothing. But whatever influence was at work on her, she must, at the last moment, have rejected it. For at the exact instant the sun disappeared, it was Mina Harker who drove the stake through the heart of the thing that called itself Dracula. At that same instant, even as we looked, the wound on the side of her throat was no more. As for Dracula, before the scream of the creature had died from our ears, the whole body crumbled into dust and passed from our sight. In that final moment of dissolution, there was in the face a look of peace, such as I never could have imagined might have rested there.
In the cast tonight, Dr. Van Helsing was played by Martin Gable, Jonathan Harker by George Koloris, Dr. Seward by Orson Welles, the Russian captain by Ray Collins, the mate by Carl Swenson, Mina Harker by Agnes Moorhead, Lucy Westenra by Elizabeth Farrer, and Count Dracula by Orson Welles. Bernard Herrmann composed the original music and conducted. Dan Seymour speaking. Davidson Taylor supervised the production for the Columbia Network.
Just in case Count Dracula has left you a little apprehensive, one word of comfort. When you go to bed tonight, don't worry. Put out the lights and go to sleep. It's all right. You can rest peacefully. That's just a sound effect. There. Over there in the shadow, see? nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. I think it's nothing. But always remember, ladies and gentlemen, there are wolves. There are vampires. Such things do exist.
Haunted Shack Theater is a Dimension Zero production.